Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The last three gospel readings for this Sunday and the past two have all come from the same source, the same chapter, from John chapter 16. This chapter comes right before what is called the high priestly prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17. And so John chapters 14 through 16 are all of Jesus' words to his disciples in the upper room on the night before Jesus' suffering and death, the very night of his betrayal. That night he has been in intimate fellowship with his disciples, celebrating the Passover feast of old. The very next day, Jesus, early in the morning, would go on trial before Pontius Pilate and before Israel's own king, Herod. He would be sentenced to death by crucifixion. Jesus knew this. His disciples did not. In these words recorded in John's gospel, we get a major look at the compassionate heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Like a good parent with his or her child, he wants to prepare his disciples as much as possible for what lies ahead. What lies ahead is his crucifixion and his death. Also then his burial. Furthermore, his resurrection. Jesus would rise again in 3 days. And then they would see him again, Jesus prophesied. In that day, they would behold their master once more. Key words from today's text appears a couple different times in that day. Joy would be restored unto them, Jesus said. Following his resurrection, however, the relationship with Jesus from the past 3 years would change for those men. For in just a few short days, here, we will be celebrating the ascension of our Lord. And when Jesus ascended back to his Father to be seated at his right hand, he did not leave them behind. He just could not be seen by them in the same way any longer. He was still with them. For he promised them exactly that, that he would be with them always in their midst. Now, as Jesus taught them earlier, his disappearance would mean the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' disciples then would have the Spirit of God, the third person of the Holy Trinity, within them. He would guide them down the path to all truth regarding Jesus himself. What the Father has, Jesus says, belongs to Jesus. And Jesus then sends the Holy Spirit to give all of those good gifts to Jesus' followers. No longer, then, would the disciples ask Jesus personally. Rather, as Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Through Jesus, his disciples would have access direct to the Father, praying in his name, Jesus' name, to the Father is what they were called then to do. Ask, and you will receive, Jesus said, that your joy may be full. Further insight into the very heart, the nature, the identity of God. He does not want you left hanging. God does not want you in doubt or in unbelief in this world. He wants you in full faith and trust in Jesus, his Son. As our epistle reading read, He would have all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. He wants, truly desires for your joy to be full. Can you, at this point in your life, or perhaps at any point, say that your joy seems to be full? Perhaps you've just lost a close loved one, a friend or a family member to death. You may have lost your job, your very way of living. A large expense may have come up unexpectedly, leaving you in panic about what to do. Perhaps, in a more spiritual sense, there's a certain sin or sins that burden you, causing you guilt and shame, even to admit such things before your family, your pastor, even God Himself. See, joy does not tend to be full or to feel that way here in this life. Even with the hurts and the ache of those sad situations, whatever they might be, God promises that you can still have joy. But that does not mean you have to have a smile on your face all the time. You do not have to pretend to be happy, to have true joy in your heart. Rather, you can face the hurt, face the pain as you would, with the full support of your loved ones who are behind you as you go in for surgery, as you face illness, or even suffer through catastrophe. Calmness, peace, and confidence are yours in Christ, knowing what He has done for you, trusting that He is with you through it all. That is true joy. The hour is coming, Jesus said, when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. Now, following Jesus' resurrection, and as a result of the Spirit's coming at Pentecost, the disciples of Jesus experienced that truth full force. The Holy Spirit had descended upon them and made that truth known to them, the truth of Jesus clear to them. Now, the Spirit had the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus to work with at that point. And that was then the lens through which Jesus' followers were to look at the entire scope of their existence. The very same lens is given to each of you as well, to be used for your benefit and your blessing each and every day of this life. Perceiving the ways of this world, the hurt, the suffering that we all face, perceiving this in the light of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and Him resurrected, gives you certain joy. By His death and by His rising again, Jesus has made payment for all sin, for all shame and guilt. He has destroyed death utterly, perfectly. Jesus has won the victory over all evil, over the devil, over hell. And that victory gives to you hope, as He gives you Himself that very victory. Following the words from our gospel reading, verses 23 through 30, Jesus goes on to say that His disciples will be scattered. His death will frighten them into fleeing from His midst. But Jesus says He will never be alone. Even as He speaks that very cold truth from the cross, in question form, my God, why have You forsaken Me?" Even at that point, Jesus is not alone. Like a good parent who must discipline their child, but never leaves them or stops loving them. So God the Father had to forsake Jesus for our sake, but he never left him alone. All these things Jesus says to his followers so that they may indeed have peace and have joy in the midst of conflict and despair, which would come by the loads full in the years ahead. Those things are not all the same, of course. Peace and joy, conflict and despair. But naturally, by God's good grace, they can coexist. While in struggle, you can have peace. While despairing of this life and this world, you can have joy. This is true. This is possible only through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Perhaps you've seen that in your life already as a loved one, strong in the faith, goes through great pain and suffering. But they fully trust in Christ alone for their salvation, and true joy is seen in their face and their hearts. Jesus' final words to his disciples in this great upper room discourse before his high priestly prayer are perhaps the most comforting, the most powerful that he utters. In this world, you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Even before his crucifixion and his resurrection, Jesus spoke these reassuring and comforting words to his men. And they would find that pure fulfillment in his death and in his resurrection the third day. The most that the world, the devil, sin, hell, death could throw at him, Jesus would defeat. He would overcome. Death could not hold him. Satan could not keep him down. For Jesus has won. The victory is his, now and forever. Now, all these words from the gospel that Jesus speaks are awesome. They are truly powerful. But for those disciples who heard them first, and when they first heard them, it was a mystery. So much had yet to be revealed. True comfort and true joy for them would not come until the Spirit was bestowed upon them. All throughout Jesus' remaining 40 days before his ascension, those disciples would wrestle and struggle with this reality. So much had yet to be revealed to them. True comfort would not come until the Spirit was bestowed on them. The same is true for you and for me today. You do have the blessing of getting to look at this world in the light of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and resurrected. You can indeed see how God allows things to happen in this world, good and bad, for the sake of His kingdom, for the proclamation of His gospel, for salvation, for eternal life. And yet, in all honesty, there are still things that baffle you and me. And there are still tribulations aplenty to face. There's still pain, sadness, and suffering to feel. The disciples had that too. Their loved ones still died. They were arrested, abused, mocked, ridiculed, spit upon. And they would know the blade of the persecutors of Christ's church. Even so, the joy of Christ was theirs. Nothing could take that away from them. They found refuge in Christ, the true rock. Even with the storms of life dousing down all around. For they lived out their days in that day, the day of Christ's resurrection, which continues on here and now. And so then, do you live out your days in that day? You are on this side of Christ's perfect work of redemption, this side of the cross of Christ. You have the shelter, perfect as it is, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have the very empowerment that God gives in His means of grace, in word and in sacrament. You were baptized, not an insignificant truth. And you are fed, truly fed, the very body and blood of Christ. You are saved, present, real time, identity, and truth. True joy is thus yours in Christ Jesus alone. For you are indeed living in that day, the day of resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the day of joy, the day of hope, the day of peace. For this indeed is the day of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The peace that does pass all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus, our Savior, to that great life of everlasting. Amen.